Hi, everybody. This is Pastor Chuck Allen, and I want to thank you for joining me on another Sugar Hill Church Weekday podcast. One of the reasons we created these is that 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, you could have just a word of encouragement straight out of Scripture, and that through your work week, you might be able to grow and build on day by day by day. By the time you got to the end of Friday, you were encouraged, you were blessed, you knew you could do this. So today, I want to talk about going to work. I bet you're like me and you remember seeing the movie Groundhog Day. You remember that? The main character, the guy Phil, you know, Bill Murray played him. He finds himself reliving the same day over and over again. And at first he finds some humor in it, and then eventually he gets totally immersed into depression. And everything becomes meaningless to Bill Murray's character. And he's just kind of sulking and pouting one day at a bar, and he asks the dude next to him, Ralph, he says, "What would you do if you were stuck in one place and every day was exactly the same and nothing that you did mattered?" And another guy speaks up at the bar and he says this, "Well, that about sums it up for me." Well, now think about it. I wonder how often we would give that kind of answer. We go to work every day doing the same things with the same people, seeing the same results, and deep down we know that there has to be more to life than this. And so we struggle. We ache. We at times feel hopeless or meaningless. You know, originally, our work probably had meaning and fulfillment bit into it. As Adam and Eve tended the garden, they found sweet and wonderful satisfaction in serving God and each other serving God. And after the fall, that satisfaction gave way to just an exhausting work. I'm really grateful that, thankfully, futility is not the end of the story. Though the work of Jesus becomes our work, it becomes renewed, and once again, it has meaning. Listen, friend, we've been made for making sure that it's meaningful. We've made work meaningless while it's supposed to be meaningful. Over in Genesis chapter 2, in verses 15 through 17, listen to what the text says. "The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, 'You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, then you will surely die.'" Well, you know, we think that if our face is wound up on the cover of a tabloid, things might be different for us than the average celebrity. We think to ourselves, if I had more money, more power, more sex, more knowledge, more fun, a more successful career, better opportunities, I might be happy and fulfilled. Well, Israel's King Solomon had everything that he could ever want, and his response to this is shocking. He says, "And so I hated life. Everything was meaningless to the man who had everything, even his work. He gave himself fully to his role as king, but finally gave up in his heart to despair over all the toil of his labors under the sun." Solomon's words echo a Genesis 3 world of thorns and thistles, and not the Genesis 2 world of working and keeping the garden. It's been said before that without the fail of sin, work was an undiluted blessing. Is that not cool? An undiluted blessing is hardly what many of us would say is when we roll out of bed on Monday morning, unless our words drip with sarcasm. Our sin has separated us from the satisfaction of work as it was supposed to bring us joy. Listen, friend, God created you and me to work. This is not a necessary evil. This is a blessing. The only way our attitudes toward work will change is for us to find ultimate meaning and satisfaction in the divine. You see, Jesus restores the meaning and the purpose of our work. In a great book entitled The Explicit Gospel, the author Matt Chandler shows how the work of Christ redirects our heart and redeems our work. Let me quote his line, "Whether you believe in God or not, you are living, walking, and wearing His stuff. He gives gifts to all, food, drink, work, friends, and family. He gives gifts to all, but only the children of God, only those who believe in Jesus, receive the gift of lasting enjoyment." Why? Because if we're oriented around Jesus, our satisfaction is not tied to anything but Him. we can actually enjoy God's good gifts the way they're designed to be enjoyed, because they are in orbit around the right sun, the S-O-N, not just the S-U-N. Not ourself, but our Savior. Listen, friend, when Jesus is our greatest desire, our work is redeemed because we no longer use work as a God replacement. Are you working as unto the Lord today? I mean, are we begrudging our work, and maybe that's a sign of rebellion to God, not redemption? Is it a sign? I mean, it is possibly a sign that we have not rightly taken into account the words of Abraham Kuyper, who once remarked that there was not one square inch of creation about which the Lord could not cry out, "Mine." Friend, listen, that includes our work, and such a truth ought to give us joy and meaning. The first step to redeeming our work is to come to know Jesus. Then we come to see that our workplace is now an opportunity for service where we can reflect and enjoy the glory of God. Friend, Groundhog Day ends on a positive note. Phil falls in love with a woman, and when he looks at this, and through her suggestions, he uses his terrible situation being stuck in one day to improve the lives of everybody around him. And even though he's trapped in these circumstances, Phil has found purpose and meaning. The mundane has purpose. Jesus' redemption rescues us from the despair of meaningless work because we now work for him. God bless you, friend. What a great truth that is, to go to work and have meaning. I hope to see you this Sunday at Sugar Hill Church. And you know, we're always streaming live at live.sugarhill.church. God bless you. Bye now.